You're with Johnny Vedmore on today's News Talk TNT.
Hello, my friends, and welcome to a new day on the Johnny Vedmore Show, where I'll be speaking to two fantastic guests who are both on the front line in the battle against truly intrusive issues which should concern us all. And if you're in the chat there over the TNT chat, I've already noticed there's a few people in there. Feel free to ask some questions. If you want to ask questions to the guest in particular, then make sure you put a cue beforehand so I can notice it when I'm scrolling through. But we'll be very happy to try and relay your questions across. I, like many of you, believe that most adults have the right to do almost anything to themselves. Almost anything. If you're 25 years old and you want goat horns surgically grafted to your skull, I seriously don't care. Humans do things to themselves all the time, which I wouldn't do to myself. But it's their right to be different from me. I don't mind. I'm sure you're all sitting at home with your surgically grafted goat horns on now, nodding your head in appreciation to that message. But it is children being targeted by weird science that emotes me, awakens me, angers me, and makes me scream blue murder, as my mum would say once upon a time. I know what it's like to be groomed. I understand that as a child, some adults will try and make you do things which will change your entire existence. Things that will put you on a different life path and will leave you with trauma throughout your adult life. Those people who systematically traumatize children are all around us. They're predators who, like the neurotypical amongst us, target people they believe they can influence. We all see a lot of influencers around, but these people target a very specific and vulnerable group. Whether it's physically or mentally, evil people will try and coerce you to take actions which suit their own agenda. But those people are also often driven by trauma themselves. They express that trauma by attempting to control others and by convincing the most susceptible amongst us to take actions which will then go on to make them falsely feel like they're soothing their own trauma. One of the most clear manifestations of this vicious cycle of abuse, which targets the vulnerable, is that of trans ideology. If a grown man wishes to chop off his genitalia to suit a cultural trend, then so be it. But once the same man persuades a child to do the same, it's definite child abuse. I don't think that's just an opinion. I think that's fact. And I think most of the people watching at home with their goat horns on right now agree with me. Some adults desire to have power over weaker and more susceptible humans. They want them to damage themselves, scar themselves, brutalize themselves, so they can feel a form of power over them. This isn't even a little controversial as a statement. Some humans literally want to destroy other humans. It is known. Of course, it's harder to do that to a fully grown adult. However, we see it all around us. Many men and women have found themselves in coercive relationships, trapped by emotional, mental, or physical abuse. So we know that humans look to manipulate other humans, sometimes systematically, and often in an attempt to scratch a psychological itch, which is a consequence of someone else's doing the same to them. Humans abuse other humans. So if you give the most malevolent in our society the ability to legalize their abusive natures, it becomes a free-for-all. This is happening right in front of us, right now. Children are being legally abused and mutilated, not for their own good, but for someone else's evil. This isn't kind. Surgically altering children as a treatment for a psychological malaise, which is fully treatable with counseling, is a vile element of our current society. It says more about us than we care to imagine. Regardless, it is going to continue because we live in a society which is driven by our own trauma. Our experience of the past paint the world we create. The only reason why children are the target today is because we were also treated with the same disrespect when we were younger. The only way to change this is to fund counseling services and heal our wounds. But that takes money, time, perseverance, and patience, which are all things which our modern society are truly lacking. Now, why not give TNT a follow? We're on all major social platforms, including Facebook, X, Twitter, Instagram, Gab, Getter. Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time on today's News Talk TNT.
Keeping the commitment 24/7.
I've been in the car all day and I got to listen.
Can't get enough of it.
You guys are doing a great job.
Today's News Talk Radio TNT.
All right, well, the UK government has announced it's investing more than £55 million into an enhancement of facial recognition system, which would include using mobile units to scan the faces of individuals in public, all in the name of cracking down on shoplifters. Oh, those horrible shoplifters. Shrinkage is one of the worst things in our society, you know. Here with the story, joining me now is TNT News producer Adam Clark. Ruckus, my friend, how are you today?
I am well, or should I say, feeling today, actually. This is shocking to me. This is absolutely insane. It's times like this that I'm glad I live here in America, but I'm sure they're going to do the exact same thing if they're not already doing the exact same thing right here in my own country, as well as your own country, wherever you might be, dear audience member. So this is crazy to me. There are a lot of things with this. This is a lot more than just, oh, we're just going to throw up some facial recognition cameras. What does that mean? Okay, what they're doing is they're going to drive around in the public and during crowded, busy times using vans with mobile units to scan everybody's face. The idea is, hey, maybe we can match you up to a known offender. There's a lot of stuff going on here. They also want to start tagging people as if they were cattle. Yep. So I'm going to report some of this right here. I have one here that mentions how this initiative, the £55 million. This is crazy. This is alongside proposals for stricter punishments, all aimed at serial or abusive shoplifters in England and Wales. Under the proposed measures, offenders could face wearing a tag, ostensibly to prevent them from revisiting the scene of their crime. I'm not sure how that's going to work. They could be facing imprisonment for up to 6 months and unlimited fines. Why that wasn't already happening, I have no idea. This is all thanks to the success of something I'm sure the viewers might already be familiar, Project Pegasus. Let us get into it. So this new law, which I said, they could be facing imprisonment up to 6 months and the fines. This is all introduced via an amendment to the Criminal Justice Bill. It's currently working its way through Parliament, and these changes could happen as early as this summer. We already mentioned it's 55.5. I'm sorry, it was a little more than just £55 million. It's going to be spent across the next 4 years. This includes £4 million for the aforementioned mobile units, which can be deployed on high streets using live facial recognition in crowded areas to identify people wanted by the police, including repeat shoplifters. That investment follows the development and success of Project Pegasus, under which some of the UK's biggest retailers, including Marks and Spencer, Boots and Primark, run their CCTV images through police databases using facial recognition technology. Why is this a problem? Well, as Silky Carlo puts it, who is the director of civil liberties at campaign group Big Brother Watch, the government's investment in facial recognition technology was, quote, an abysmal waste of public money. Furthermore, she says, quote, this Orwellian tech has no place in Britain. Criminals should be brought to justice, but papering over the cracks of broken policing with Orwellian tech is not the solution. It is completely absurd to inflict mass surveillance on the general public under the premise of fighting theft, while police are failing to even churn up to 40% of violent shoplifting incidents or to properly investigate many more serious crimes, end quote. All of this money will apparently be coming out of a £240 million investment in police productivity across 4 years, which was announced in the budget. And as I said, just the $4 million alone is going on these mobile units. That's going to happen in the next year or sooner. So, Johnny, you're just walking around minding your own business, and unbeknownst to you, your face has been scanned. Oh, by the way, they want everyone to know that this technology has gotten better. So the technology, what did they say? According to the Daily Mail here, the Met's director of intelligence says that the accuracy of the algorithm that they're using to identify suspects has greatly improved. They say their technology can now identify individuals, even if they're wearing a hat or a mask. So let that sink in. But what say you about this one, Johnny?
Well, I've already been the victim of facial recognition on two occasions over the past year. So they already have deployed this sort of technology all around the place. This is just finding out that we are going to have it everywhere. And it's going to just letting us know. They're going to scan everybody's face. It's not just one or two now. But I already, on two different occasions over the past year, both when I was doing what's called police auditing, or just auditing, just walking around with a camera myself. You know, the police have cameras. Make sure you have the camera on the police. That's the idea of police auditing. And on one occasion, they were dealing with a guy who was he looked like he was ODing on a bench. And instead of actually treating him with first aid, the policeman was scanning through his phone to try and work out how to do first aid, which is crazy because I know the police are often trained every 3 to 6 months in first aid. And I was trying to tell him, listen, you need to put the guy on the floor, put him in the recovery position. And they wouldn't have any of it because it's someone else telling them what they should be doing at that point, even if it's the right thing, is something the police love to ignore. And so they all treated me like I was the issue. Eventually, they brought out 12 different policemen and a police van with facial recognition on there to completely surround me, push me, cajole me, and stop me taking any images of them putting a man's head between two benches when he's having a fit, and not being able to put him in the recovery position and slip downhill. I just found it incredible. And they were using my name within within probably about 5 minutes of the van turning up. So they've already scanned. Now, I've never been arrested, prosecuted, anything like that for a crime. Why they've got my face on file, I do not know. But they were able to deploy a facial recognition van and already find it out. So I don't believe that this software has not already been deployed en masse. And then it happened a second time last year, with a protest I went on, which was a 15-minute city protest, and they formed a police line only for me. Everybody else was allowed to go on a protest, and they brought out their facial recognition, and once they had worked out who I was, they all panicked and let me pass, which was really also very strange. So they've already deployed this information. The idea that they're going to go out and do this, and this is a new thing, I don't think it's true at all. I think they've been doing this for a long time. And with all of the shops closing down everywhere, it's just insane to try and say it's shoplifting. Shoplifting is something that's an issue, but it's not as much of an issue as keeping our privacy. I mean, where did you say it was going to be in the next year that they're going to deploy this?
The mobile vans, they're spending money on the mobile vans across this next year. So that'll be the first thing basically that's rolling out here. And you know what? All of the news articles that I found on this story today are all leading with the idea that this is, you know, against shoplifting. But I imagine that's because that's how the government is presenting it. But, you know, you look at it, it's for all crimes, all criminals. So again, they could determine that you or I, Johnny, are a criminal just because of what we do here on TNT. You know what I mean? So, you know, knowing that, they also can say, OK, he's been known to show up at these places and cause a ruckus or cause a protest. So we're going to scan. There he is in the crowd. Let's just quietly exit him from the crowd before something happens. So I don't like where this is going.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Well, thanks for bringing us that ruckus. It's truly unbelievable. Looking across at the chat there, and Mazzy says, I saw your coverage on it, Johnny. My blood pressure shot through the roof. It's amazing. Once you discover that you, as soon as they deploy facial recognition vans, you no longer have any right to privacy, then people will start to worry because it only affects them once they're the ones being stopped. That's often the way it is. You'll be back with us in the next hour for more news, I take it, Ruckus?
You betcha. We'll see you then.
Always look forward to it, my friend. You're listening to today's news talk on TNT.
TNT's James Freeman.
According to reports in the press, Ian had liked posts from BNP, that's the British National Party leader Nick Griffin, and posts from Tommy Robinson, which included a photo of a pig on a spit that suggested holding hog roasts outside of mosques during Ramadan. Whilst another included a video of the Quran being burned in the streets of the Netherlands. Now, whatever your views are about Islam, I don't think it's a great look to be engaging with this type of content if you are serious about becoming a member of parliament. Not given that, you know, if you're successful in that role and you get elected, then you're elected to represent all of the constituents in your area. And regardless of where you live, that will include people from the Muslim community.
James Freeman on today's News Talk TNT. Unbiased information.
Honest and forthright.
News without the misinformation.
It doesn't matter what side you're from. What matters is what you say, the truthfulness behind it.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back, my friends, to the Johnny Vedmore Show on today's News Talk, TNT. My first guest is an Oregon state representative with a background in mechanical engineering and was the co-founder of a company called Concept Systems. Ed Deal is one of the representatives who opposed a bill which would expand funding and access for gender transitioning, which would require insurance companies to pay for gender transition care for teens, even without parental consent. Mr. Deal, thank you for coming on the Johnny Vedmore Show on TNT. I really appreciate it.
You bet. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, it's a pleasure. I can't wait to get into some of this. So can you tell me why Oregon is so far ahead of many of the states in America when it comes to the extremist left-wing agendas?
Well, you say ahead. I feel they're so far behind if you look at what's going on. But yeah, this is a very progressive state, and they're enamored by this idea. And so they're just running full steam ahead with it. And I'm skeptical, you know, and you look at the data, you look at the evidence, and there's no evidence that shows that this is helping children. But Oregon has adopted it. We're doing surgeries on children and young adolescents right here at Oregon Health Sciences University, which is kind of a pseudo state entity, some other hospitals as well. So it's we're pushing back really hard on it. But the House Bill 2002 basically set in stone, put in law that this quote unquote gender affirming care had to be mandated by private insurance and also the Oregon Health Plan, which is our version of Medicaid.
That's unbelievable. For a lot of the people who watch this show, they're get emotional and angry about this subject, of course, because we all know what this really is. I tried to explain that in the monologue, you know.
Your monologue,
yeah, it's very, very much true that we need to prioritize who we protect, and that seems to go out the window once it comes to something like this. How do you personally feel about gender ideology? Do you think that a man can become a woman and vice versa?
No. I think that, as if you're an adult, I do believe that there are some adults that are more comfortable presenting themselves in a different way in society. I've spoken to one in particular that is in his 70s. And, I think that there's some truth to that. That does not mean that a man becomes a woman. The way I put it is pretty simple. Sex is binary. A man is a adult human male. A woman is an adult human female. And there's personality. And personality comes in all shapes and sizes. And some traits may be more effeminate. Some traits may be more masculine. So what? That doesn't make you a man or a woman. And children are not in a position to make this decision. And the stuff that they're teaching in the schools now is just completely distorted. It's not based on science. It conflates a new definition of gender with sex. It's just confusing kids. And so we've got a real battle on our hands. But I'm optimistic. I think the truth is finally coming out.
Well, I completely agree. You know, it confuses me as well when they talk about gender and sex. Even most adults don't really know the difference between the two and don't understand how that then relates to wider society. And I can completely understand, but this is something that is become such a hot button issue because they're pushing forward with it. Now, your job includes reviewing, and you, I know that you and your wife who works as probably as your boss
includes
reviewing every bill which comes before the state legislature. To my language. So words are extremely important, especially within your job. What terminology would you prefer to use for so-called gender reassignment surgery and this sort of stuff?
That's a good question, because gender, the history of that word is very interesting if you look back at it. And now, I don't know, way back when, sex became not your sex, but the act of sex. And so they started substituting that, I don't know when it was, in the 50s, to use the word gender. And now, who knows what it means? It means anything you want it to mean. But I believe that a more appropriate term is sex trait modification procedures, because that's what they're doing. They're using hormones and different therapies and surgery. They're changing your physical sex traits. And I believe it was Leo, is it Sapir? Sapir, where I first read that as a description. And so I think that's a better definition. And actually, I introduced a bill in Oregon called the SAFE Act. And one of my colleagues introduced it again this last session that uses that terminology, sex trait modification procedures, we were banning it for 18 and or under 18.
So do you see this as mostly a psychological issue, really, something that could probably be solved through counseling and talking therapies rather than surgery?
Absolutely, I do. And again, I distinguish it between youth and adults. If you're an adult and you decide you want to go through life with this, and if you're willing to pay for those surgeries yourself, I don't have really an issue with that. You're an adult. You make adult decisions. But if you're doing this with children, and the truth is, when a child comes up and presents themselves, I think I'm, you know, a girl says, I think I'm a boy. It, when they say gender affirming care, they are affirming them all along the way. It becomes, and I've talked to a therapist who's done this, and it is putting all the onus on the child. The child, they make sure the child owns that decision. So it's like there's this whole chain of plausible denial all through the way with the therapists and the doctors and everybody, because, and the parents, because the child owned that decision. The child is a child. They're not in a position to own that decision. They're looking for guidance from us. They need adults in the room to tell them, no, you're not a boy, you're a girl. You may enjoy playing with trucks. You may like these things, different things that boys like. That does not make you a boy. So it's unbelievable, frankly, that we've gotten to this point. It's a social contagion. And you can say that and also say, no, there are some adults, there are some people who truly feel this is the best thing for them to do to go through life socially, to socially adjust. I get that. But you can also accept that and say, we have a social contagion going on, because there, you know, some of the statistics I see for the kids, what is it, 20% or more, certain generations of children identify as transgender. It's not, that can't be happening. That has to be a social thing.
Yeah, I agree completely. There is definitely a major issue, and yeah, it may be in the psychology of adults rather than the psychology of children. Listen, we're going to take a short news break now. You're listening to Today's News Talk on TNT.
I got a news flash for you.
Newsflash!
TNT Radio News.
For TNT, this is James O'Neill. Former Russian President Dmitry Medvedev criticized U.S. President Joe Biden for perpetuating human suffering through his continued support for Ukraine, interpreting Biden's advocacy for additional military assistance as an endorsement of ongoing conflict. During a Senate Appropriations Committee hearing on April 10th, Senator John Kennedy suggested that the Biden administration's handling of the southern border and immigration policies might be politically motivated to benefit Democrats.
Why not give TNT Radio a follow? We're on all major social platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Gab, and Getter. Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time right here on Today's News Talk.
TNT Radio.
TNT Radio.
Welcome back. I'm talking to Ed Deal about one of the most important topics of our time. I've been talking to many people who are based in Oregon since the start of the Johnny Vedmore show, partly because I believe Oregon is a good example of what we are facing in the near future, ideologically speaking, around the rest of the world. How has the state changed since you were younger?
Yeah, I call Oregon the petri dish of every crazy progressive idea, because we have a small population that's fairly progressive. If you want to test out a social experiment, we're a cheap state to do it in. Witness our ballot measure 110, which legalized drugs, and which many of us worked very hard to reverse as much as we could in this last session, and we were partially successful there. But so I moved to Oregon in 1989. And what's happened, Oregon, the Portland metro area has just exploded with a lot of tech sector. And I'm a tech guy too. But the population has definitely become more progressive. The urban areas have grown. So we have, but at its heart, it's still a very conservative state. So we have this real dichotomy. So about half the state is conservative, half is very progressive. And what I've seen, and it is very close, you know, that our Republican governor lost by, I think, 40,000 votes. So relatively close race. But when the state goes to the left, it goes hard left. And on issue after issue, our Democrat legislature is way to the left of the typical Oregon voter. And I think Oregonians have finally woken up and realized, you know, I'm voting, I'm being progressive, I'm voting for the Democrat, but they're not representing my wishes. And we saw that with recriminalizing hard drugs. There's, you know, we've got people, homeless population growing. The majority of them are either drug addicted and or suffering from mental illness. The drug addicted, we had open drug use in our streets. And nobody was accepting of that. But it took just overwhelming outpouring to get the Democrat legislature to finally move the needle and recriminalize drugs. And there's other issues too, where the legislature is just way, way far extreme and is not representing the more moderate, typical Oregonian. And my challenge as a Republican is to get that message out, to let people know that there is an alternative and our solutions are much more aligned with the typical Oregon voter than what they're seeing in the legislature today.
Yeah, I talked with Tara Fall, who I spoke to recently, who takes mm-hmm. pictures of homeless people out on the streets. And you know, I would consider that she's probably would be considered left wing in most states, but in Oregon, yeah. you know, the people waking up seem to be painted as these right wingers. I mean, it's completely mixed up, topsy turvy. You've also met with many people who are classified as detransitioners.
Yes. So
that they're an extremely important voice to hear, of course. So you think that the majority of people who transition before they their adults have deep and profound regrets about their own decisions?
I don't know what the percentage is, but I can tell you it's a significant percentage that do. And that tells you right there, kids don't know who they are. They don't have this somehow inherent sense of self. We should not be affirming it. I don't know what the percentage is, but it's significant enough that we need to look at it. Some studies have shown that kids who started on hormone therapy, for example, only a third of them stayed on that after so many years. There's some studies that show it's pretty significant population that will desist. Other studies show it's a smaller percentage, but it happens. And as long as that's happening, we should not be doing these treatments on children.
It does seem in the States, because of course, every single country around the world have got all of these different age limits on things. I mean, you can go out and drink here in Britain if you're 18 years old. In France, there's no limit as long as you're with your parents and in a restaurant and you have a little glass of wine even. In the States, of course, it's 21. Do you think that a decision of this magnitude is still something that a young-minded 18, 19, or 20-year-old can really make without having regrets? What is the definition of a minor? Is it correct?
Yeah, my personal belief on that is no, they're not in a position. Their brain is still developing. There may be some that are, but many of them are not. And we have just this conflict, you know, the same bill, House Bill 2002, that mandated gender affirming care allows 15-year-olds to do it without parental consent. That same bill edited a law that says you have to be 18 to get a tattoo or get an ear piercing. You have to be 18 to get a tattoo, but at 15, you can have body parts cut off. It makes no sense. And then the same groups that are promoting this bill, the same doctors that are saying we should be doing this is important for these children, are the same ones presenting bills to ban flavored cigarettes because they harm children. In Multnomah County, you can't smoke, menthol cigarettes are banned. You can't buy a menthol cigarette, but you can go in the shopping mall and smoke fentanyl. It's complete nonsense. So, but that's just some examples of what we're fighting here.
Yeah, I'm looking in the chat just before we go on a quick ad break. I'm looking on the chat and there's some, I mean, this is where the issue comes. When you hear what people say, we've got Wild Heather saying the evil despots at the top just want society wrecked any which way they can. And, you know, there's a lot of people who believe that too. And MTL Mumzilla says something extremely, you know, extreme, but I know a lot of people who completely agree with this. The trans thing is insanity turned into a protected identity. And the end goal is to make paedophilia illegal. So I know that a lot of people have real fears about the slippery slope we're on. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Today's News Talk on TNT.
When the world's endangered animals need help most, when their lives are at greatest risk, when they would otherwise be lost, the International Fund for Animal Welfare is there, taking action to rescue the animals we love, to protect them and their threatened natural habitats. But the danger to animals the world over is growing, and the need for your help has never been more urgent. On land, you'll help stop poachers from threatening and killing elephants and big cats for the illegal wildlife trade. In the oceans, you'll help rescue dolphins, whales, and seals from deadly hazards. And you'll help rescue, rehabilitate, and release vulnerable animals when disasters strike. Here at home and around the world, we can't do this work without you. See how you can help animals and people thrive together at joinifall.org.
I'm Belinda, and this is Willard, and we were adopted in 2021. When we first met Todd, he was singing a song, and I was like, wow, look at this kid with the biggest smile, and he has a big heart to match.
The energy you give Todd, you get it back from Todd.
Yeah.
Todd's a joy.
Yes,
Todd
is.
Really is a great joy.
I love him. You and you.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org.
No propaganda, no lies, and definitely no BS. You're with Johnny Vedmore on Today's News Talk, TNT.
I'm really happy to have Ed deal with me asking, answering some of the questions that, of course, are on a lot of people's mind, especially people who watch a freedom of speech platform like this, which seems like the only place where you can question such ideology as the modern trans ideology. So Ed, how do we raise up the voices of those who are detransitioning to have equal footing with those calling for making transitioning easier?
We really need folks that are being impacted by this directly to speak up. And a lot of them are afraid. I've spoken to so many parents that will privately talk to you, but they are unwilling to speak up publicly because they don't want to expose their child. They don't want the harassment. But the problem is, if they don't speak up, if they don't raise the awareness, we're not going to be able to move the needle. So I would encourage people to not be afraid to have this discussion. I know even within the Oregon legislature, there was a lot of resistance for me to be pushing back against this. It's complicated. It's hard to understand. If you start talking about it, you're going to get in trouble. I say, we have to talk about this. We have to talk about it. So I just hope there's more detransitioners that are willing to speak out. I think that we need to be seeing more lawsuits. That's really going to pressure the medical establishment. And be constantly questioning anytime, like Oregon right now is trying to adopt the WPATH standards for how our standard of care. At the same time, they're being dismantled in England. I mean, the CAST report just came out and just was brutal and laid it out like a lot of us had already known. The evidence is so flimsy for children and adolescents that there's no basis for doing this on kids. So the more doctors that speak out, a lot of doctors are scared to speak out, more parents, the more detransitioners. Don't be afraid to be vocal. The children deserve it. We're the adults in the room. We need to speak out on this. And I think we can move the needle that way.
Yeah, I agree. And I know that we're trying to get people who have detransitioned to talk to me on the show. And it's a very hard job because, of course, it comes with a lot of self-consciousness. It comes with a lot of mental turmoil that they have to go through to get over the fact that they look or sound a certain way. I mean, to kind of like brush along what I said before the break in a probably better terminology, is a vote for children to be allowed to decide to transition without their parents' consent even, or simply start down that road, is it simply a form of child abuse?
I think it is abuse. I think it is abuse because we know for a fact that we are harming children when we do this. And so I'm frankly appalled by it. And I really think that we will look back on this era in shame, that wow, what happened to us as a society? How could we do this to our children and not protect our children? We got to remember the doctor that invented the ice pick lobotomy won a Nobel Prize. And what a horrific experience that was. So this happens in the medical profession from time to time. There's other examples of it where we adopt things without really thoroughly investigating them in a skeptical way. And I think this is one of those cases.
Yeah, definitely. I'm looking again across at the chat and seeing Joel Allen say, my neighbors transitioned their 9-year-old daughter into a boy a few years back, and now she has woman's hips and still looks like a girl most of the time. And in Joel's opinion, and knowing the parents, it's caused by neglect. But I mean, a lot of that can be neglect that's handed down generation after generation. You've been talking about this subject publicly a lot in the past year. Have your beliefs softened or hardened during that time?
Well, you know, they probably hardened because I don't know if I'd be hardened. I'm more confident in my position. The more I've studied this, the more doctors I've spoken to, the more research papers I've read, the more confident I am that this is a terrible thing for our children. And that we're doing absolutely the wrong thing. And I believe what we're seeing today with the severe, brutal criticisms of WPATH and the actions by some European countries, most recently England, is validating things that I've been saying since the beginning and things that other people who've been in this fight long before I got into it have been saying. So. Yeah, I'm more confident now than I was when I started.
Yep, that's a better way to put it. Confident rather than hardened. Definitely a better way to put it. What was your family life like growing up? Were your parents more traditional and was your family life more traditional?
Yeah, pretty traditional. I grew up in Western Montana on a cattle ranch. And my dad was a truck driver and a logger. My mom was a stay-at-home mom until I got in high school, and then she worked as a cook in the hospital. And so, yeah, I had an awesome childhood. I was connected with both sets of grandparents. I had a lot of family support. Went to a small school with, it was great, and I think that grounded me. I didn't grow up in a religious family in any way. I converted to Christianity later in life, and I'm a Catholic for 13 years, but I didn't grow up that way. So that obviously that has an influence on my worldview and my values.
In that case, do you think your own religious belief affects your directions in these matters? And would you think that's a good thing or a bad thing when it comes to bias? Do you think that it's fair to be driven by religion in some of these matters?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, you know, one of the things that drives me is the inherent dignity of human life, to understand that, to respect it, and to protect it. That is something I've always believed, but it's definitely reinforced by my faith. So, you know, on these issues, I look at it in terms, I mean, also an engineer, I look at it in terms of science, biology. I understand that. And then the question is, do we as a society have an obligation to protect these children? And that definitely, my faith definitely says that. My gut says that. So I think you can't separate your values from your faith. In fact, I think it's a mistake to try and do that. That's one of the reasons we're in the mess we're in right now, frankly.
Yeah, I'm looking again across at the chat and seeing the infamous little Carol, who's always in the chat and is a wonderful woman. I've met her in person, says, this winds me up so much. I've got to get some air outside. These people are satanic and evil doing this to children. I think people feel that there's only religious terminology that you can use to actually label some of these people and their actions. You know, there's not, this is not something which is, would be different in the past. Evil people have always existed and they do evil things. Now, getting on to some other things. We're in a bizarre election year. Of course, you're a politician.
Oh, yeah. So
I think you would have probably been aware of that as a Republican politician, too.
Yeah.
Which is, it's promising to be like nothing we've seen before. As a Republican, are you on board with another Trump presidency, or do you think there's a better candidate within the Republican ranks?
I would love to see a better candidate. There's a lot of things I respect about Trump, and I will be supporting Trump in his reelection bid. But I really feel that we can do better. If you look at who we have on both sides of the aisle, it's like, is this the best we can do? I don't think so. So, but there's really nobody else that's even close to being in the running on the Republican side. I don't think there is on the Democrat side either. So given those two choices, and I don't think RFK's gonna be in the mix. He may be a spoiler. But yeah,
I completely agree with your evaluation, but I also completely respect the fact of your honesty, because of course, politically speaking, that's a bit of a hard question when of course you're part of a party that's supposed to be, you know, behind a candidate. So I really do appreciate your candor and your honesty. Oregon is clearly facing a massive drug problem, which you touched on.
Yeah,
I was listening to your Measure 110 remonstrance earlier today.
Yeah,
I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Where you told of a two-year-old whose mother had stashed fentanyl amongst cookies and treats in front of the child, and as a result, obviously clearly disturbing. How can Oregon and other states effectively stop the proliferation of dangerous pharmaceuticals when Big Pharma and their lobbyists appear all powerful?
Well, fentanyl is a whole new game because it is so powerful and so cheap and so available. I don't, obviously decriminalizing it didn't do any good. So I think the best thing that we can do as a state is to recriminalize it and go after drug dealers hard, and then also get people who are addicted into treatment. And we have to face the fact that some people will not volunteer for treatment. They have to be encouraged to go. And facing jail time or going into treatment is the kind of encouragement they need. I also think as a country, go ahead, Johnny.
No, please go on. As a country.
As a country, we are letting these drugs flow across our southern border like nobody's business. The open border policy from the Biden administration is an epic disaster, not just with the drug front, but we have to control that. We're never going to stop it. People will always use drugs. We'll always have it. But I expect to be able to walk down the street without having to be interacting with somebody that's high on fentanyl or somebody who's defecated on the street. I expect to be able to take my kid to the park and not step on a needle. These are things that society expects. We expect to be able to live in a safe community. And that just means that it's okay to hold people accountable for their behavior for the betterment of the whole community. But we're never going to get rid of it, but we can minimize it.
So what has that push to decriminalize hard drugs done in Oregon? Because it seems like it was slapdash effort, you know, and I'm not sure if it's even was it done like that so that it would fail? Has it been set up to fail? Is there a better way of decriminalizing drugs? I'm not sure where to start with that question.
Well, it's a good question. So what happened is we had this Drug Policy Alliance they want to see drugs decriminalized. And so they pushed a ballot measure in Oregon, spent millions of dollars in the state to get this across the line. And it was sold as investing in drug treatment, addiction, and recovery. So what happened is that ballot measure passed. The legislature before my time passed this bill to implement it, but we had no safety net in place. We had one of the worst addiction treatment and recovery infrastructures in the country, but then we went and decriminalized drugs. So we kind of had this double dose of this. So at the same time, we saw the rise in fentanyl. So it created we already had a problem, but it made it much, much worse. So I think that some Oregonians were sold a bill of goods there. And people want real treatment and recovery. And I think they're finally realizing people aren't just going to volunteer for it on their own. And so that's why we just this session, with a ton of pressure, we recriminalized hard drugs. And that'll go into effect in September.
I'm a pretty good move, I'd say, seeing as we see what's going on the streets and talking about extremely dangerous drugs. Do you think that puberty blockers should be banned?
For children and adolescents, yeah. I really do. I do. Today, if you're 18 or older, you can go into a Planned Parenthood and say you want cross-sex hormones and you get them. There's no psychological evaluation or anything. So there's a concerted effort to eliminate anything that might interfere with what they consider necessary care. And that means you affirm all along. I think, number one, that's terrible. There needs to be some vetting before these drugs are given. But I don't think children have any business getting this.
Before they even allies? How many allies do you have in this sort of, you know, in this sort of field? How do your colleagues feel the same way, or are you feeling pretty alone most of the time?
No, most of my Republican colleagues, I'd say all but one, agree with me on this. We're all in alignment. I'd also say several Democrat colleagues do too, but they're unwilling to go up against this progressive machine in Oregon that if you don't toe the line, you will be unelected. You'll be primaried. Your pet bills won't go through. You'll be removed from committees. It's 40 years of one party rule in Oregon, and they've got quite a machine going that we're fighting.
Ed Deal, thank you so much for coming on the Johnny Vedmore Show today. I really appreciate your honesty. Thank you.
Thank you. Anytime.
Excellent. Right, stay with me, people. Don't go changing or rearranging. I love you just the way you are. We have our first returning guest on the Johnny Vedmore Show in the next hour. And we are going to go marching up to the gates of power and start making everything shake, crumble, and tumble down. Yes, don't go anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. You're listening to the Johnny Vedmore Show on today's News Talk TNT.